No more yesterday. Tomorrow is all that matters. Written by Poppet a Woppet and read by the Patty for Pod Together 2016. "You're a vampire," Cordy says, and she can't believe she hadn't thought of vampires until she saw Angel tonight. So she rambles for a bit, hoping to distract Russell. She's been so busy between the starving and the worrying and the auditioning. Russell clears his throat.
"So you've met one of us before and survived?"
"Did you not hear me tell you about the Hellmouth?" Cordy rolls her eyes, walks toward a curtain, and holds herself still. "I'm the Slayer," she says, holding her hands and fists and hoping.
"You."
It's a large enough pause, and Russell draws back, so Cordy runs out of the room. "Oh my God, I'm climbing the stairs. What am I thinking? I'm going to die a horror movie cliche and no one will even know," she thinks as she runs down the hall.
"Whoa, watch out."
Cordy looks up at the bulk, the man she's run into, and a pair of very friendly blue eyes.
"Hello, salty goodness," she murmurs. "What's with the running?"
Cordy lets out a breath, takes a chance. "Vampire." The man blinks once.
"Okay, come with me."
He pulls Cordy into a room, and when she looks around, everything is dusty and wrong and not the house she came into. She doesn't have time to think when the man snaps a leg of the chair and then puts his hands to his ear.
"You got what we need, Parker? Good. Get out. I found a civilian and we'll follow in about 10 minutes.
Cordy tenses. "Are you FBI? Cop? Mercenary?" The man grins, and wow, he is super attractive, and Cordy clears her throat.
"Something else," he says.
He breaks the chair leg 5 more times and discards 2 pieces. The other 3 are sharp-edged. "Steaks," she says. The man twirls one in his hand and then holds it out to her.
"Ever actually dusted one?"
"A few, in fact. I went to high school with the Slayer, and that's the second time I've mentioned her tonight. I feel really weird actually talking about it."
"Okay, just one in the house?"
"He had a limo driver, but I haven't seen that guy since I walked in the door."
"Okay. Elliot, by the way."
"Cordelia. Cordy." Something flashes across his face, but it's gone before she can say anything. He nods once and pulls the door back, stake in each hand. Cordy follows, and they walk down the hall back to back. They make it to the bottom of the stairs when Russell attacks. Cordy knows this is the point where she should run, but she holds her stake steady and watches Elliot fight off half of Russell's blows and takes the others without a sound. When Russell steps back, Elliot faints with one hand and the vampire moves, throws with his other. Dust. Elliot looks at Cordy and grins.
"I dated a Slayer."
Cordy blinks and tries to do the math. It doesn't sound right. Unless, of course, Elliot had met Faith at some point before she came to Sunnydale. Something snaps and part of the ceiling falls inwards.
"Think the house was tied to him?"
"Must have been."
"Run?"
Cordy nods, and they run out of the house and into an unmarked van.
"Cordy, that's Hardison riding shotgun. Parker's driving. Welcome to Lucille. Let's get out of here now."
The van tears away from the house, and Cordy watches it collapse in on itself. He looks old, misused, and not the piece of art she had entered less than an hour ago. She looks around the back of the van. There's a lot of electronic equipment.
"It's about an hour to home base if you want to rest," Elliot says.
"Okay, that sounds good," she says, and closes her eyes. Elliot insists on feeding them all while Hardison sets up his display. Parker sits next to Cordy and stares at her for the whole time, occasionally petting Cordy's hair and asking if Cordy can pick locks or make pancakes or what other special talents she has. "Well, I once talked 2 vampires out of eating me," she says. Parker nods. "I usually just stake them, but I could see how that would work for Hardison."
"Hey," Hardison says, "I would talk of them until you or Elliot came along and then stake them."
Parker smiles.
"So what exactly do you do?" Cordy asks.
"I'm a thief, but I'm also the mastermind now. And Hardison hacks stuff, and Elliot's a retrieval specialist, but mostly he beats people up, and we all grift here and there," Parker says.
"But only to bad people," Hardison says. "For people who have nowhere else to go," Elliot says.
"So you commit crime to help the helpless?" Cordy asks. Something like that. Huh. So what's the plan? We take you home, wherever that is, and you take a card and call us if you need anything. Then we all go to bed because we have to be up early to avoid lines at the airport. You know, I could just hack us past the TSA, Artisan says. And then we could sleep in. Cordy blinks. Wait, what's the TSA? Girl, have you been hibernating? No, I may have just graduated high school, but I had a 3.9 GPA and was like 15th in the class of Sunnydale High 99. All three of them stare at her in silence. What? Hardison, turn on the news, Elliot says. What is... Cordy turns her head to the screen, and it's so clear and busy, and there's a date at the bottom, and it's June 13th, 2015, and she lets out a breath. I suppose if I call the operator, they'll say the same thing, or changing the channel will prove that this isn't pre-recorded. Yeah, it's definitely 2015. I guess the dating a Slayer thing makes a little more sense now. You are that Cordelia, Elliot says. Buffy said that you disappeared after... Oh. So, what did I miss?
I don't even know where to start. I could summarize the last 16 years or so if you give me a couple hours. And I guess I'm booking an extra seat on the flight home. We could cover the highlights when we get back to Portland, Artisan says.
Okay. My last name is Chase. And I guess my parents are out of jail by now. Tax evasion. So it'd be nice to know where they are. Not that I could explain this.
Okay, first order is getting you some stuff.
Between you and Parker, I'm sure you have something that fits me. I can do better than that, Parker says and walks out of the room. Where did she go?
She went to acquire you some things, Elliot says. If she actually buys them, it means she likes you. If not, it means she really likes you.
First thing you gotta understand is, we ain't normal. Cordy laughs. I grew up next to a hellmouth. What's normal? The next morning, there's a small suitcase by her door and a purse on her nightstand. When Cordy goes into the bathroom, there's a few toiletries. And either she's a heavier sleeper than she remembers, or Parker is a great thief. Considering how quickly Elliot had killed the vampire last night, she's betting on the latter. The smell of coffee and food drive her to the main room.
Didn't know how you'd take or if you take coffee, so I got black with some stuff on the side, Hardison says. And Elliot found what he calls decent muffins, but they look damn good to me.
Damn it, Hardison, they came out of a freezer and were probably baked 3 weeks ago. The blueberries are definitely not fresh, Elliot says. Cordy smiles. I don't care if the blueberries are freeze-dried. It's definitely better than most of what I've eaten since I got to L.A.
I don't want to know, do I?
No, you don't.
Any food allergies? Dislikes?
I'm pretty good with much anything. Elliot nods and takes his coffee and muffin to the sitting area and begins writing notes with the occasional mutter of rosemary and lamb and mushrooms.
He cooks?
Parker shakes her head and Hardison's smile grows wide.
Don't tell him I said this, Hardison says. But he's not a cook. He's an artist.
Oh, so lots of exercise then. Parker nods. Thieving burns calories. Sex, too.
Hardison closes his eyes. Parker, we...
I know what sex is, and I must not be having the right kind, because I burn more calories as a cheerleader.
You know what? I want to go help Elliot with whatever it is he's doing, Hardison says.
Hi. I say the first thing that comes to my head a lot, Parker says.
Me too, Grace says.
So, are both your boyfriends embarrassed by sex talk, or just him?
I'm private.
But they both like flirting, especially Elliot. He says it's helpful for practicing the grift, but I think he really just likes to flirt. And how did you...
Please, I just got out of high school.
If there's one thing besides vampires I know how to spot, it's when people are in a relationship.
That's cool.
Parker smiles. They get kind of weird about it, but they grew up normal, so it's harder for them.
It's too bad, though, Cordy sighs. They are really cute.
Mine, Parker says. But you can flirt with Elliot, because it'll fluster him, and it's super fun to watch.
Deal.
Cordy holds out her hand, and Parker shakes it.
Somehow I get the feeling that handshake wasn't good, Elliot says.
Cordy puts the... What did Hardison call it? Cordy puts the tablet in her purse and leans back into the seat. She plays her part throughout the airport. She's Elliot's younger sister, and apparently they have money. When they get in the van, Elliot drives and she rides shotgun. She looks out the window and thinks about everything she's missed and knows that the presentation Hardison put together can't even begin to cover it. At least her parents are okay. She's already decided not to contact them. It's not like they tried to stop her from going to LA, and even after their arrest, they sent a letter basically divorcing themselves from her life. They get back to what they call home.
You live in a restaurant?
Above, Hardison says.
And it's a brew pub, I'll have you know.
It's early enough in the morning that it's all closed up. Cordy follows them through the employee-only door, then it's up to their apartment. Elliot takes her suitcase to one of the bedrooms, and she sits at the kitchen table watching them settle in, which means checking all the locks for Parker and Elliot, pulling food out of the freezer for Elliot, and checking all the security camera feeds and other electronics for Hardison. They make their way back to the table.
So, the Hellmouth collapsed, my parents are out of jail and not even looking for me, and everyone I know is either dead or scattered to the wind. But there are, like, thousands of Slayers now?
Elliot nods.
And Willow did the spell.
That's what they told me.
And when did you see them?
Elliot looks at Hardison, who looks at Parker.
It was right after Nate and Laura left, Hardison says.
Yeah, Parker says.
And there was the job where I broke my ribs, and then you guys freaked out because I healed in like 2 weeks.
Wait a minute. You're a Slayer? Cordy asks.
Parker shrugs.
One of them. I'm not like part of the official group because I don't hunt demons full time, but I'm aware of them and they're aware of me. If we find someone or something that needs more than what we can handle, I pass it along.
Okay. So who's left?
Well, we only met Willow and Buffy.
And Dawn, Hardison says.
Right, Elliot continues. But she talked about her mentor Giles a lot.
And Xander, remember? We've met him. He's our contact in Portland, Parker says.
There were a lot of people in Cleveland, so I can't say, Elliot says.
Okay, I want to hire you.
What?
Well, I'm pretty much the definition of helpless, so I want to hire you or contract you or whatever it is you do to get paid.
Oh, we work on an alternative revenue stream, Hardison says, which means you don't have to pay us.
What is it that you want?
Cordy laughs.
16 years have passed, and she's not even sure how she got here and everything that's happened. She just laughs until she cries, and it's Parker who puts her hand on her shoulder and rubs up and down.
Not sure we can get you back there, Parker says, but we can help you live here, however you want to do that.
I guess since Xander is here, I could see him, or we could call Cleveland. I really need a familiar face, or voice, or both.
We can do that, Parker says.
Let's go Skype a Slayer.
Elliot's in the corner of the kitchen, and he has this strange smile on his face. He's on the phone and laughing.
Artisan's on the couch, and there are pages, well, whatever, on the bank of the TV screens. He's typing on his laptop and occasionally making notes as he switches the screens in what seems to be a random order. Parker is sitting on the counter, eating a bowl of cereal and pointedly ignoring the occasional glare from Elliot. Cordy gets the feeling this is probably a typical day for them, so sits in the chair near Hardison and tries to make sense of what he's researching.
Yeah, call me when Dawn gets back to you.
Elliot hangs up the phone and glares at Parker again.
No, it won't ruin dinner and you know it, Parker says.
That ain't what I was gonna say, Elliot says.
So how is Buffy?
Elliot rolls his eyes and sits in the opposite chair of Cordy.
She's fine. Has a research team on things.
Things? Cordy asks.
Just seeing what they've heard about time portals.
And making sure she was feeding herself, Parker says.
And that she doesn't need any help with anything, Hardison says, and smiles when Elliot growls at him.
Elliot is one of those rare people who is actually friends with all of his exes.
Just because I treat people right don't mean it's weird, Elliot says.
Cordy grins.
I'd love to be a friendly ex-girlfriend.
Elliot blinks and turns slightly pink. Well, I mean, Cordy laughs.
Oh, you're going to be so much fun. Damn it, Parker, did you tell her to flirt with me?
Parker hums to herself, one corner of her lips slightly upturned.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Elliot growls again. Okay, Hardison, Parker says. Presentation time. Hardison stands up and clicks a button. All of the screens turn to an old picture of Russell Winters.
Okay, I figured I'd start with what I know about Russell Winters first. I found 13 different aliases going back to the Gold Rush with his picture and family tree alone. Looks like he owned that property in various ways for a long time. So the portal you came through probably stood just as long. I'll wait for Dawn to confirm.
Cordy sat back in her chair. It reminds her of sitting in the library and talking about whatever monster of the week they were sitting out to defeat. It reminds her of home.
Later that afternoon, Cordy is going through the suitcase of clothes Parker stole slash bought for her, genuinely happy with most of the choices. She's not sure why Parker thought she needed a t-shirt with a bunny on it, but it's super soft, so she doesn't complain. Then she hears a familiar voice coming from the living area.
So what's this all about time portals? You didn't really go into much detail except, it's important, Buffy, and you owe me a favor.
Cordy puts a hand on her mouth, because Buffy's impression of Elliot is fairly spot on. She must be on that Skype thing Parker was talking about.
Parker, Elliot says. I had reasons to keep certain things out. When did you get the info without bias?
There's silence, and then Parker is at the door of Cordy's room. I suppose it's time to bring me out, huh?
Parker nods.
Cordy follows Parker out into the living room.
Buffy. She's looking down at a book or something, and she's cut her hair. She has a small scar next to her right eye, but the half smile on her face is just how Cordy remembers it.
Hey, Buffy, she says.
Buffy looks up.
Holy shit! I sort of came through a time portal and missed, well, everything.
Yeah, lots to tell.
I heard about your mom. I'm sorry. She was cool.
Buffy nods.
Hey, Donnie, come in here.
What?
Cordelia? How? Oh my gosh, you came through a time portal.
Got it in one.
Okay, well, I guess I'll give you the lowdown. So, time portals, not very common, of course. Something used by vampires who, for whatever reason, wanted to hide out in a previous era or get something from a previous era that they buried for safekeeping. Usually involves blog rights and at least one dog. I definitely would not recommend it. But killing Russell, since his blood had to activate it, you effectively closed the time portal.
I see, Cordy says.
If you wanted to come to Cleveland, Dawn looks back at Buffy.
You'd be welcome here, Buffy says. Or I'm sure Giles would love to see you. He's in London.
I'll keep that in mind. I need to get used to being now first.
Promise you'll visit Xander at least. He can catch you up on whatever Hardison didn't find.
I will. I have to make sure the knucklehead is taking care of himself, don't I?
Buffy nods.
Yeah, he still needs help sometimes.
Don't be a stranger, okay? I'll make sure there's not too big of an apocalypse if you do decide to come here.
You have small apocalypses?
Occasionally. It's a nice breather from ascensions and chosen ones and first evils.
Somebody Cordy doesn't know comes up and whispers in Buffy's ear.
Gotta go. One of the newbies just came in bleeding, and I have to figure out why.
Talk to you later. Make sure she sleeps, Dawn.
Dawn nods, and the screen goes blank.
Well, that was surreal. So when do we get to see Xander?
Tomorrow.
I called him while you were in your room. He thinks I have some Slary-type information to pass on, Parker says.
Okay.
Cordy tries to think of what she can say to him. A part of her still loves him a little. In that, hey, we used to be together once upon a time way. For her, it's been a few months since graduation, and for him. For a moment, she thinks about telling Parker to call and cancel the meeting. She doesn't want to see him or any of them. She wants to be starving in her apartment, with her whole life ahead of her. She lets out a breath. She's going to see Xander tomorrow, and then she's going to figure out what to do after.
Nice car, Cordy says.
It's a bright orange Challenger with black stripes, and Elliot is leaning against it, looking at his watch.
No, you don't get to drive it, he says.
I bet you say that to all the girls, and you're always wrong, Cordy says. Elliot closes his eyes and pinches his nose. I'm gonna kill Parker. Look, Oh, I know you're taken. Don't worry, no illusions here. But I have to keep in practice with someone, and Hardison is a bit too much like my ex-boyfriend. Still gonna kill her. Parker and Hardison emerge from the side door of the Rue Pub. Hardison looks at his watch. 2 death threats before lunch? Slowing down, El. Parker is lugging Cordy's suitcase. Just in case, she says, and puts it in the trunk before climbing in the back of the car. Cordy gets in the car and leans back in the seat as Elliot pulls onto the road. Now, Hardison says, you have a full background now. All your paperwork is in line, and I'll have a copy of your birth certificate and social security card in about 2 weeks. I kept your first name, since that's easy to remember. You also have enough money to keep you for a few years until you figure out what you want to do. Go to college, go back to LA, go to Cleveland. It's all doable. Your fake parents are dead, and I've uploaded your general history to a tablet so you can learn it if you decide to be out in the real world and need a story. Wow, Cordy says. You this thorough with all your clients?
They're always satisfied, he grins.
Damn it, Hardison! She laughs as Elliot grips the wheel tighter.
Thank you.
She takes the tablet from him and spends the next 30 minutes reading about her life.
Here we are, Elliot says.
Cordy looks up. There's a small house next to a larger building that looks like a school from the outside. There's a small sign that says Harris Construction, Main Offices. For some reason, this is what feels the most unreal. Elliot and Parker walk up to the door of the bigger building and walk in.
Are you okay? Is this too fast? Hardison asks.
Cordy shakes her head, but she can't speak. Hardison takes her hand in his and squeezes it.
Whatever you want to do, it's cool. We're cool. It's a lot in just 3 days. So if you tell me to go get Elliot and Parker, we can all go home and have grilled cheese sandwiches and watch movies all day.
Cordy smiles. You just eased them into loving you, didn't you? Waited them out until they realized it was too late to leave. Hardison shrugs. I want to do this. I need to do this.
Okay, girl. Elliot and Parker have had enough time to let him sit down.
She smiles, and they go inside. Oh, hey, Hardison, the woman at the entrance desk smiles. Go right on back.
Thanks, Charlie, Hardison smiles. Charlie was one of the potentials they picked up in Sunnydale. She hates fighting, but hates her family even more.
He continues as they walk down the hall.
So when Xander moved to Portland, she came too.
Ah, Cordy says before they stop at the door. Xander Harris, president and CEO. She smiles and opens the door.
Someone's come up in the world since I last saw him, she says as she walks in.
Xander stops mid-sentence and pales. Not a prank, he whispers. Cordy bites her lip because his eye, and there's a little bit of gray in his hair, and he's lost weight and dresses way better, but it's Xander. And there's a picture of the 5 of them on his desk, one of the rare group pictures they had from high school. And it begins to hurt to think about the time difference and... Cordy? He's standing in front of her and his hands are clenched by his side. Sorry, I saw you 3 months ago and now... And hi, Xander. He hugs her then, and she knows she's crying by the time she hugs him back. She pulls away.
Guess the fancy office and the nice threads mean you've been taking care of yourself.
I do okay. Guess Ellie sucks bad. You had to jump through a time portal.
You know me. I always do what I think is best for me. She laughs. You have a ton to tell me.
I saved the world with a story of a crayon. He grins.
The sad thing is that I know that somehow it's true.
So, since I'm the owner, I could take the rest of the afternoon off.
Sounds good.
Meet me at my house and I'll fix you lunch. And I promise it won't be remade or from Frozen, so don't give me that look, Elliot.
Elliot nods once, and Xander sees the 4 of them to the door.
That's his house there, Elliot says. Built it himself.
Cordy looks at it, then back into the office. Then she looks at Parker. I'll go get your suitcase, Parker says. Before they leave, Parker hands her a card.
Just in case. I think you'd make a great grifter if you wanted.
Three days later.
So you run a real business, but also stand as a wayward home for slayers, too?
Yeah, I mostly get the ones they find who don't actually want to be slayers, but can't go home. It's nice to have someone who knows what you are, but also is normal, too. Don says I'm the best at listening to teenage girls, but mostly, I think I've seen more than enough hellmouths and apocalypses and magic. I'm still good in a fight, and I can recognize most demons and vampires, and I go to Cleveland twice a year, but I'm part-time.
I get that, Cordy says. That's why I moved to L.A. I knew that if I stayed in Sunningdale, I'd probably end up dead or, I don't know, birthing some demon child that took over the world. I'd love to go visit everybody, but I've traveled through time. I think I'm good on the supernatural world.
Xander laughs. So what do you want to do now? College?
You know. I'm good at school, and I like taking classes, but I definitely don't like the idea of spending the next 4 or 5 years learning to do just one thing.
So what?
I don't know. I think I might like to help the helpless. Cordy sets her suitcase on the sidewalk and leans into Xander's truck.
You sure you don't want me to wait?
She shakes her head. I'm okay. I really am. I promise to visit and annoy you as often as I can, at least until I know you have someone taking care of you.
I take care of myself. Sure you do.
Xander smiles at her. Charlie takes care of me.
Ha, huh, I knew it.
He rolls his eyes at her.
We're just friends.
Please, she would totally date you.
Cordy.
It's okay. We're okay. I'm gonna be okay. He nods, and the truck pulls away. Cordy turns and knocks on the side door to the brew pub.
I know you know I'm here, Hardison, so open up.
It's Elliot who opens the door and grabs her suitcase.
You should have called.
That would have ruined the surprise, she says. Parker and Hardison are on the couch with paper spread across the coffee table. So before we get into the all-questiony stuff, I have something to say, Cordy says.
Okay,
Hardison says. Parker smiles at her, and somehow Cordy knows she knows exactly what's going to happen next. Here's the thing. You guys make a pretty good team, but I bet it would be better with a couple more people. I mean, 3 people can only be in so many places at once. Plus, having a younger member in the crew would probably help with some cons. I've taken a few acting classes, and while I only did, like, 1 commercial where I was in the background, I have a quick study. Plus, from what I can see, your organization system sucks, and you need someone who is a people person, so I've decided that as of today, I'm hired as a junior partner in Leverage Inc. We can discuss time off and bonuses at a later date. She holds out the business card Parker gave her. Hardison and Elliot blink at her, then look at Parker. Elliot sighs.
Going to kill you. She ain't no thief. Who's going to teach her to grift? Hardison says.
I'm sure we can get Tara and Sophie to run some classes, and we can all help until she develops her own style, Parker says.
Elliot sighs. Guess I could teach you some hand-to-hand. You're a cheerleader, right?
Yeah.
Good. Means you're ahead of where Hardison was when I started with him.
Hey, Hardison says.
Good. That's settled.
They argue for about 30 minutes, finally picking a client and eating dinner while doing some preliminary planning.
Okay, then. It's settled. Let's go steal a whale, Parker says.
In the morning, Elliot adds.
Or maybe a couple days to set things up, Hardison says.
You're ruining the moment, Cordy laughs. But that sounds amazing. They wish her good night, and she closes the door to her room. She changes into sleep pants and her bunny t-shirt and sits on the bed. Welcome home, she says, and turns out the light. The end.